Charlie at whoone.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 363. Now, the others are all a bunch of sick notes, so I've decided to invite a much reliable person back onto the show, Mr. Ben Shoveler.
Good evening, Adam. This is really quite surreal. I tell you what, I won't say good evening, I'll say hello, because obviously it's not necessarily evening when podcasters listen to podcasts.
Yeah, so that's sort of slightly sidetracking. Yeah, so how have you been, Ben?
Yeah, not bad, thanks, mate. You know, getting on with life and being very upset about Doctor Who.
Yes, we've been talking about a lot of people being upset about the issues currently with the series, but I'm going to reserve my opinions on it once.
Why?
Because I'd like to see what it's like first. I mean, I'd rather obviously have a voice at the time. I would rather they'd chosen to continue with the male in the part, but they decided to go down a different road, and it might be rubbish, might be good. Hope it's good, because I like Doctor Who being on the telly, and at some point in the future, the Doctor will regenerate again. So I will...
I doubt that. The Doctor will probably never regenerate again.
Yeah, you pessimist, you.
Oh, it's just like old times. Do you know what's really bizarre, though, is that... you just said episode number
363.
Yeah, and I was probably on number 63.
No, you were not. I think you were on about a year ago. You were talking about...
Something. No, when we did it to start with.
Of course.
Together, yeah. Just me and you, yes, Adam, that was, all the Americans turned up.
That's only because Alicia couldn't be bothered to do a couple of episodes, and now she can't be bothered to do any of them, so that's quite interesting in itself. But yes, that's indeed, that would have been 2011. Many years ago.
That's probably about right, isn't it? So it's been a long time. It's been a long time since I've...
We have done another one, just me and you, but I can't remember. That one sort of sinks into the realms of... I've forgotten about. But we did do one. Probably complain about Stephen Moffat somewhere along the line. Oh, I segued.
That's very good.
Yes, because the Stephen Moffat era is approaching its end.
Hallelujah.
But...
I'm not bothered.
I thought you didn't think you would be, although you might be bothered, because he got coerced into, changing the Doctor's gender. Not a major problem for some people, a major problem for a lot of people, or vice versa. But nevertheless, it's happening, and on Christmas Day, or according to Amazon, a week before Christmas Day, we'll see Jodie Whittaker step into the role.
Well, you will.
You're not going to watch it.
I'm going to watch, because the episode looks really quite good, which is a bizarre thing for Stephen Moffat.
But that is mainly a Capaldi episode.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I'm going to watch it up until he starts regenerating, and I'm going to turn it off, and I'm never going to watch it from there.
There was a bit of a clip of the regeneration in the recent trailer.
We've had
clips of regenerations in the last series, which turned out to be sort of... red herring, shall
false.
We say. Yes. So that particular clip may indeed be a red herring.
Do you know what? I don't think it will be.
I don't think it will be. No, I think it might be, because we've, like I said in the last story, when he kept on throwing his arms and they say no and slamming his hands into the floor. That might be one of those instances.
If you look very closely at that still frame of him regenerating in the TARDIS, you'll see the TARDIS console has got flames on it as well. So obviously it's doing a David Tennant and all catching fire and stuff.
Yeah, I can't remember who brought that idea into Doctor Who. Oh, it's RTD. Now, I was actually thinking whilst I was walking down the road, I'm going to talk about Moffat in a minute, but I mean, I personally think that if Doctor Who does start failing a little bit...
what do you mean, a little bit? It's been failing for eight years now, mate.
But if it does, you know, get really, really sort of in the doldrums, then the only way to rescue it, and this won't make a lot of people happy, is to bring back RTD. Or the only chance. I'm not saying RTD could actually save it, but I think that would be an option the BBC should perhaps look into.
I don't disagree with that. I think, you know, he resurrected the series in 2004, for, and
yes, indeed.
You know, he did a very good job for 4 years.
He did, indeed. Although it did go a bit silly.
Yes, it did get a bit silly, but it was always watchable. Yes. It was always manageable just to look at and watch and sit there and not have to think too much or know too much about it. And you know, that's one of the issues that I've got with the Grand Moff.
Yeah, oh, I think the only problem with RTD that it was far too romantic. But then it wasn't. There's always, you're never going to be 100% happy with whoever wants to steer the Doctor's path. And I personally,
of course not. And looking back into the, you know, the classic series, whenever there was a big boss change, obviously the series did take a completely different angle for a while. Yeah. And you know, that's the beauty of it, I suppose, that someone will have a completely different view of it. And, you know, just because I'm going to sit here and slate Stephen Moffat for as long as we're talking for,
it doesn't mean
that nobody's going to like him, because clearly people do. And anything I say is just my opinion.
It's time for a change. For a change when John Nathan Turner sort of cast Sylvester McCoy, or not when he cast him, but probably the year before he cast him, because obviously the BBC shelved Doctor Who, and then I know he wanted to leave, didn't he? But no one else would actually take up the part, the role of producer. But that's the point in which he should have gone, and maybe Colin Baker could have stayed on for a bit longer. I don't know. I'm being hopeful. But anyway, you thought you were coming on this show, but no, I was going down the road of This Is Your Life. But no, you thought you were coming on this show to sort of air a bit of a slating of Stephen Moffat, as, of course, you've enjoyed doing for many years now.
No, I haven't. I've always enjoyed his work.
You haven't. No. So what we're going to do, we're going to see if we can find any positives in the Stephen Moffat
era. No, there are positives.
No. I'm going to re-paraphrase. We haven't got a lot of time because of Skyping issues, but I'm going to paraphrase through...
Is that the fact that neither of us could get it working?
don't blame me. I know what I'm doing, sort of.
Just because I was signed into the wrong account.
No,
don't blame me.
I blame whoever owns Skype now for making a mess of it.
It's got a bit rubbish, but it was my fault, listeners, because I'd signed into a different account that Adam had, so he couldn't dial me on it, and I couldn't dial it anyway.
I still should have been able to work. But never mind. Right. So, as we connected to each other. So, the Stephen Moffat era began... with the 11th hour. I'm not going to go through each episode slowly. We can do this quite quickly. But it began with the 11th hour, because we began the podcast during the Time of Angels. So it was... It was just after Time of Angels, when Vampires of Venice was on. Sorry.
Right.
Get slightly distracted there. So we were halfway through Matt Smith's first series and still actually quite enjoying it. So we had the very exciting 11th hour, which I think everybody thought was a really good kickoff for Matt Smith. And Beast Below was a bit of a damp squib, and then they picked it up a bit after Victory of the Daleks, so it got a really good slating. But that was a Mark Gatiss episode, I seem to remember. And then we had Time of Angels and Flesh of Stone, which was really good, but then some people weren't quite sure about the River Song character, whether they were already getting fed up with her. I found her quite intriguing myself.
No, I was bored by this point.
You were?
Yeah, I was.
Did you remain bored throughout the whole saga?
Yeah, I completely lost interest in River Song. It was a ridiculous story.
I loved it.
I know it was started by Russell T. Davis, effectively. It ended by Russell T. Davis? Because obviously
he killed her off. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was Moffat that did the story. So yeah.
Yeah, and just, you know, the usual thing with Moffat, he just took it a little bit too far and a little bit too long, I think. I don't think anything was added to the whole River Song thing, keeping her around for as long as he did. And, you know, the whole story could have been told a whole lot quicker, which may be recurring.
I will have to disagree with that. I absolutely love the River Song saga. It's one of my favourite things of the Moffat era. Right, so moving on, there was then Vampires in Venice, which I seem to remember being quite good, a Toby Whithouse story. Amy's Choice, which is, I think, the one where she was pregnant.
Was that the one where she was fake pregnant, but it was fake Amy?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Quite a weird story, that one. Hungry Earth, one with the whale. No, it wasn't. Hungry Earth was the one where Isabella very famously said Amy fell down to the ground. That was the one where the Silurians were back with their very long tongues. Chris Chibnall wrote
was
that
Chris
story.
Chibnall, yeah.
I can't remember whether I actually liked that story or not. That's a bit of a worry. I remember the story very well.
I can't remember them massively well, to be honest.
No. I just remember Silurians, whales, a little boy liked to play music on his little radio thing, And a ridiculous ending. Oh, that's what I remember. It was a ridiculous. Oh, let's get all the Silurians and the humans together, and we'll, and Amy was in charge of all the humans. Let's crack up an agreement that they'd share the planet.
It's just come back to me. I remember it now.
Really good. Sorry to interrupt, but after that, Vincent of the Doctor by Richard Curtis, I think was an absolutely cracking little story.
Yeah, that was a good little story. Yeah, that was the one with the giant wasps.
Yeah, eh? Was it?
Wasn't it? No, it wasn't.
That was Tennant.
The other one.
No, Vincent of the Doctor was when they went back to see Vincent van Gogh and there was an invisible monster.
And it was the one with the painting that he did with the TARDIS in, was it?
That's the one, which you can still buy at lavazi.co.uk. You can still buy the scarves of. Well done for that segue, Ben.
And I'd buy three of them personally because it's nearly Christmas.
Good. Well, you personally, do you really need three?
I'm just helping advertisers, Adam. That's all it is. I don't mean it. I mean, I do mean it. Totally mean it. Yeah, totally.
Well, we're talking about sponsors. Well, I've got to try and get some mentions of the sponsors in this very short clip. But we mentioned our one sponsor, Lavazi, but our other sponsors, whoone.co.uk, might be at this. I'm working these segues well. Might be at Isle of Wight Comic Con next year. And announced for Isle of Wight Comic Con next year that played Neelix in Star Trek Voyager. Oh, you've gone blank. You don't remember. I love Star Trek Voyager. But it wasn't written by Stephen Moffat. Now, the end of the first Moffat series was Pandorica opens and the Big Bang, and of course that would have brought Riversong back, so you would have been bored to tears. And of course Rory died many times on that series, remember?
Yes, that was the Stonehenge one, wasn't it, where they were all underneath Stonehenge.
Yes.
And that was the one where Rory died 55 times, and that was one thing that really bugged me about.
Yeah, it bugged me too, actually. We got a bit fed up with
the fact
Rory
that,
dying.
You know, he just kept on killing people off and bringing them back, and it's just you
specifically
can do
Rory.
It gets a bit dull, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So that was the end of that series, and we had the Christmas Carol, which was a bit crap in my view, with the one with the flying fish. That was the Christmas special for that year. Didn't really enjoy that. I seem to remember Catherine Jenkins being absolutely stunningly beautiful in that, so that was the only thing that really distracted my mind from how poor the story was.
Didn't really save it, though, did it?
And then that next series saw the Doctor getting killed in episode one by an astronaut.
This was obviously the series that was split in England into two parts.
Half
of it between April and June, and then I had to wait till August to October to get the other
right.
So I think it's a stupid idea. It's something they've never repeated.
They did repeat it for the next series. But a ridiculous... Although, again, I like the River Song side of it, and I like the intrigue, because obviously we see that little girl regenerating at the end of the episode, and we see a little woman peeking through a hole, and there was all the little things that were carrying on throughout the series, but... the payoff on that one, I didn't think was that good after waiting all that time.
It
was very pretty. All that money they spent to go to America to do those beautiful scenes, and of
the
course,
The Impossible Astronaut was a really good episode.
Yeah, on its own, it was great. A Day of the Moon was okay. The only saving point is the characters in the stories. Ray, Amy, and Rory are great characters for me. And then Curse of the Black Spot, which was appalling. Doctor's
that
Wife,
really was poor,
Neil Gaiman's
it?
Story. Doctor's Wife, that stands out as probably one of the highlights of that series. Then we had Rebel Flesh and Almost People, which I didn't really like that much. Good Man Goes to War, can't remember that one. Oh, that's the one that was a cliffhanger for the next half of the series, Let's Kill Hitler, which is
when we saw
Mel's regenerate into the River Song we know now, which again, I quite like that aspect of the story, but I thought, you know, the Hitler part, it was a bit stupid. Night Terror is a standalone story, Mark Gatiss again. I'd forgotten about that one. Girl Who Waited.
That was quite one good. That everyone lauded for a long time.
That was quite
it?
Good. I've only seen it once, so I'm quite looking forward to seeing that again when we get there eventually in a few years' time.
I don't think it was that wonderful. Yeah, all right. So she sat around and waited for 40 years or whatever.
I seem to remember it being okay. God Complex.
All right.
I don't remember the God Complex at all.
No.
Was that the one in the hotel?
Let's have a quick look, shall we?
Because I haven't got it open on Wiki. I reckon that was in a hotel, that one, a space hotel.
Constantly changing corridors.
Yes, and David Walliams was in it.
Oh, yes, what a poor performance.
And then Closing Time. What was that one then? Closing Time. Oh, was that? Crazy. Oh, no, Closing Time. That was the one that James Corden was in for the second time.
Closing yes. Time.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
And Wedding of River, that was a stupid ending. That was all, they killed the Cybermen, or put them off by having love and stuff. I think that was the theme of that stupid episode. Although I like James Corden a lot. It's a shame they didn't.
Do you?
Although it's a shame they didn't have some better material for him while he was in Doctor Who.
I thought he was good in Doctor Who, but I find him generally quite irritating.
Oh, well, that doesn't matter. League of Their Own is probably his best work. Right, so Wedding of River Song, that was a really weird, difficult to understand thing, and probably one of the worst tie-ups to a series arc ever.
Confusing.
Yes, it was more than confusing. So
yeah, again, it was ridiculous. It was too ridiculous and too confusing to actually make it enjoyable. Mm. You know, and as you said a minute ago, you didn't get the payoff for.
Yeah, I'm trying to find highlights here.
Oh, okay. The opening titles were good before he changed them.
Yes, yeah, so Wedding River Song. Well, he got married to River Song in that episode. Right, so then we had The Doctor, the Widow and the Wardrobe Christmas special, which I think everybody confirms is the worst Christmas special ever.
That was the one with...
the wooden monsters. And we had one of those comedians playing a cameo role. I can't remember his name.
Bill Bailey.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah,
appalling.
That was the best bit about it, actually, the fact that Bill Bailey was in it.
It was, but it was appalling.
It was very poor.
Then we had Asylum of the Daleks, which introduced Clara. That was quite a good story, that one, I seem to remember.
Soufflé.
Yes, indeed. Then Dinosaurs on the Spaceship, which was a bit of a stupid title and a fairly stupid scenario. And then we had the first Doctor in it.
Playing. No, I was about to say that. You beat me to it. That was my fact.
But that was written by Chris Chibnall, which I'm starting to get a bit worried. Actually, it wasn't that bad, actually, the story. But
yes, it was.
The idea of it being dinosaurs on the spaceship just for the sake of it was a bit sort of primeval.
It was kind of like they'd just got a whole load of words and threw two of them together. Just kind of went, let's write a story about that.
Yeah. And then we had A Town Called Mercy, which is that cowboy story.
It was the Western, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah. As you would say, it was all right. Toby Whithouse story. Then we had Power of Three, which was brought UNIT back into things, or the Brigadier's granddaughter, and Osgood and all the other people in that sort of scenario.
Oh, yes.
That was written by Chris Chibnall. That wasn't too bad. It just had a stupid ending again. Angels Take Manhattan, which, again, was a really good story, but how they got rid of Amy and Rory at the end of it was a bit
ridiculous.
For God's sake, why do that? You know, because they can easily go back in time and get them back again. So why send them back in time to kill them?
Confusing and some showrunner. It was a showrunner trying to do something clever, which didn't work.
It was silly. Because in Blink, of course, that's, you know, they could go back and get them. In fact, he was rescued from being sent back in time himself. So I'm not going to talk more about that, but yeah. But I suppose they had to get rid of Amy somehow, but probably...
They could have done it in a billion better ways than that.
Yes, I agree.
That
made the Doctor sulk, and therefore we had the Snowman Christmas special, where we were introduced to another version of Clara. At the end of that episode, we got the version of Clara that then became the companion in The Bells of St. John.
Yes.
Which had Celia Imrie in it, I seem to remember. And then Rings of Akaten, which was a bit poor. Cold War was okay, had the... reintroduction of the Ice Warriors by Mark Gatiss Hyde. That was actually quite good, I seem to remember. Neil Cross story then. Journey to the Centre of the TARDIS had the potential to be brilliant, ended up being not. Crimson Aura, which...
don't even remember that one.
Oh, that was the one where the Doctor turned red after something or other. And it had Dame Diana Rigg in it, I seem to remember as well. Then we had Nightmare in Silver, which is quite an ironic title, because it was. And which, of course, also had Warwick Davis in it. And then we had The Name of the Doctor, which was actually rather good. Although that was the Ghost River Song was in that one. And we had a couple of Angels just for the sake of it as well. But that led in...
The Name of the Doctor.
Name of the Doctor was the one that right at the end of the story, and introducing John Hurt as the Doctor.
That's the one where he went down into his own consciousness brain or whatever, wasn't
it? Yes, and they had the TARDIS was his tomb.
Ridiculous idea.
Yes, and that's how Clara ended up being splintered into millions of Claras, because she went in there to rescue the Doctor. And then we saw that clip of the Doctor and Susan nicking the TARDIS in the first place and all sorts of things like that, which was the forerunner to the brilliant, and nobody can deny, the brilliant Day of the Doctor, which was the anniversary special, which then therefore led to the Time of the Doctor, which was Matt Smith's swan song.
Well, if you're looking for highlights of the Moffat era,
there we go.
That's it. The Day of the Doctor, indeed. Even though I could pick it apart for some silly little bits that I don't like in it, generally, yes, it did do a great... But and while we're on the subject of that, did you see that there was an article put out last week with Stephen Moffat saying that Tom Baker wasn't originally in the ending?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, basically, he said that it wasn't originally written for Tom Baker. It was originally written for Rose Tyler's...
Oh.
Whatever character she was, the thingy,
the bomb.
It was meant to be her in there, but then Tom, they said, you know, they got Tom Baker on board and he rewrote it.
That's right, so, but that worked really well. So the one they had to get right, know. He actually got right. So we'll give him a bit of congratulations for that. That led on, like I say, Time of the Doctor, which is very strange, you know. But they had to find a way of giving him another 12 regenerations, or they found a way. Fair enough. So.
Yeah, but I could have found a better way down the back of my sofa.
Could you?
I mean, it was just ridiculous. I know it's not meant to be believable, but it's got to have a certain amount of believability to it. Mm. You know, you can't watch a story and just think, well, that's rubbish, and enjoy it, you know?
Yeah. But they did.
I know
it.
They had. You know, it was tricky. You know, God, it had been going for 50 years. They had to work out a way to give him some new regenerations. Yeah. But the way it was all done was just a little.
Bearing in mind, and we knew where Clara ends up. I suppose there was a certain amount of understanding that the Time Lords would take notice of her in regards to rewarding the Doctor with another new life cycle. But yeah, you're right. There could have been worked out in other ways. But they did work it out, and they did do it the way they did it. And I didn't quite like the regeneration itself, because there was a great big him on the top of the tower with his fire coming out of him, and he comes back and still looking like Matt Smith, and then he flashes into Peter Capaldi. Never have liked that regeneration. I hope they do something better this time.
I mean, we've seen the photos of it happening, but then obviously everyone was saying, oh yes, but it's because he's changing from his first cycle to his second cycle, and therefore he might have such a big... Oh, hello, Ping.
You won't guess who just messaged me.
Oh, did it?
No, guess who just messaged me. You won't get
Kirby.
It.
Kirby.
No.
Tom Baker.
No. Sophie Aldred.
Sophie Aldred's just messaged you.
Yes, with rather bad news. Actually, so I'm not going to say it. I was hoping to get on to the Isle of Wight Comic Con, but sadly, she's just messaged me saying she's got a very lucrative convention in America to go to that weekend. So she won't be coming then. So I'll have to message Ben, the showrunner, with that rather disappointing bit of news. Bugger. However,
oh, hold on, I've just got a message as well.
It's not from Sylvester McCoy, is it?
No, it's Peter Davison. I'm afraid he can't come either.
We haven't asked him.
I did.
Oh, well, I asked Sophie Aldred and she was going to do it. She said yes, and then she's now said no, because...
Hold on. Ba-ding! Oh, it's Davros.
You don't believe me, do you? It is Sophie Aldred.
I do believe you. Yeah. I'm just mocking.
Yeah. I wanted to do a little bit of name dropping. Right then, so then we're into the Capaldi era with... we had Deep Breath, and we also had a little cameo from Matt Smith at the end of it, which was okay. Right. But
I thought that was holding on to the past a little bit, though, don't you?
It was, but they did it.
It was kind of like, look, this is the old Doctor, and he's still around.
It's because everybody loved Matt Smith, and I did. I think a lot of people did. Doctors, and I think that's why
you can't have Matt Smith over David Tennant.
Well, I don't know about that. I like all of them.
What are you talking about, son? Seriously, yeah, is this the same program?
I like Matt Smith. I like both of them, to be fair, but I slightly lean more towards Matt Smith than Tennant, but I did like both of them. But
I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
I do apologise. Well, I don't really. Right then, so Deep Breath wasn't the greatest
introduction. Well, wasn't the worst, though.
No. Into the Dalek was quite good. That was the one that
got shrunk, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was quite interesting. Yeah. But then they ruined the ending again. Robot of Sherwood was a bit silly, but I quite like the fact Ben Miller was in it. Listen was really good. I seem to remember that being excellent. Time Heist, don't remember it. Oh, yeah, that was that awful one with the heads. Time Heist. Yeah, Caretaker, that was... What was that one then? Caretaker. That was written by Stephen Moffat and Gareth Roberts.
Caretaker was...
Oh, yeah, that's when he was in the school and he was a caretaker of the school. That was a forerunner to that spin-off series. Kill the Moon, that was when the moon was an egg, which I quite enjoyed at the time. But I think still it's a bit silly.
Very silly.
Mario, Mummy on the Orient Express, which a lot of us decided was the best one of the series.
All right.
I don't really like Orient Express story myself, so that's why I didn't really like it that much. Flatline, can't remember it. In the Forest of the Night was supposed to be the worst of the series. It was voted the worst of the series.
That was the one where we had Danny,
the love interest of Clara, who died at the end of the series. So we had Dark Water.
Oh,
I think
spoilers!
He died, and then we had an introduction of Missy proper, because she'd had been sort of in the background throughout the series. And then she was introduced as the new master in Death in Heaven. Now, Missy, brilliant. So, but like really? I say, some people think they should have just brought her in as a new Time Lord, evil Time Lord character, rather than making it the master as a woman.
No, I didn't like Missy as the master. I didn't like the whole story, to be honest with you. They shouldn't have bothered changing Missy. They only did it because of all the female Doctor Who thing, you know, and it was done to appease people, and that's what I dislike about it. It shouldn't be done to appease people. It should be done because it needs to be, needs to be, or because it's, a good story. And I don't see what that brought to the character, changing it from a brilliant, you know, John Sim. That's the master. Changing it to Missy, just bring it as a different person. Didn't need to be the master. Could have been anybody. Yeah.
But we will agree, of course, that Michelle Gomez was brilliant. Well, I think she was brilliant. She was a fantastic character.
I'll agree that you think she was brilliant.
Okay. so then after that, we had The Last Christmas, which I've forgotten what that was about.
Yeah, no idea.
Magician's Apprentice, which I think was continuing the Clara thing. She was supposed to have gone. She came back again. Which is Familiar. I don't remember that one either. Under the Lake. That was the one where they had the sort of timey-wimey episode. I quite like that one. And the zombies, wasn't it? Aha. Girl Who Died. I presume that was about Clara. The Woman Who Lived. That was obviously the backup episode. That was about a shielder, wasn't it? The one the girl that was in... what's that? Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, that was Maisie Williams or whatever.
Yeah, and that's the one where they did the explanation as to why the Doctor looks like that bloke from Rome in the
Pompeii episode.
Zygon Invasion and Zygon Inversion. The Zygons looked great. The story wasn't too bad.
That was all right.
Sleep No More, don't remember that one. Face the Raven, that was stupid, the way they decided to kill Clara off in the way they did. Didn't like that. Heaven Sent. That was really, really good as a standalone episode. Heaven Sent, that's one of Capaldi's best. Hellbent was where he went back to Gallifrey and Clara was alive again and then went off with the Shielder and silliness. Then The Husbands of River Song, which I loved. Final ending for River Song. And then The Return of Doctor Mysterio for the Christmas special last year.
Oh, I quite like that one, actually. I didn't watch that until the beginning of the new series started. Well, the last series. I watched it the day before, so I hadn't, you know. Yeah. It was quite nice to have two new episodes at once.
Indeed, I quite enjoyed that one as well. And then we had the pilot for This Is All This Year, which I thought was actually probably the best Capaldi series so far. There were a couple of not-so-good stories in there, but mainly that three-parter, The Lie of the Land. First episode, Extremis, was actually quite good. The second two were not very good. Empress of Mars I quite enjoyed. It was a bit of a shame. Of course, Dr. Falls and World Enough and Time is... World Enough and Time is really good, because obviously it was obvious that that bloke was the John Sim master all the way through it. The interaction between Missy and the John Sim master in Dr. Falls was fun, but it wasn't as good as World Enough and Time. And of course, the Doctor refusing to regenerate was a bit irritating, and Dexter spoke to her around the door because she's about to run out of time. And then of course, well, that brings us up to the fact that after this little bit of a recap of the Moffat era, that actually most of it wasn't really that good. I do apologize.
Well, it's not your fault. I squarely blame Stephen Moffat.
Okay, so
it's just not been good. It's been too confusing. It's not been a lot of stuff he's done hasn't been necessary. I've hated the way that he's changed Doctor Who history, and he says he's going to do it more in the last episode. So great, looking forward to that.
Well, I'm not, but I hope it's good. That's what I'm hoping for, because Capaldi has been brilliant. That's
yes, Capaldi's been very good. Matt Smith was okay, but they've both been let down by terrible scripts and awful story arcs.
So if you agree with Ben, say so. If you don't, then I don't
sorry.
Know.
Sorry. My opinion, if you don't agree, that's fair enough. Everyone.
But the thing you've been longing for, the thing you've been longing for is happening. Bye-bye, Moffat.
Yeah, it should have happened a long time ago, though. He's dragged it down. I mean, look at the ratings now, and they can go on about how people now watch it in different ways than 10 years ago, and that's fair enough. But, you know, the ratings for the lowest rating in the last series was 4.73 million in England, and that's, or Britain. And that's rubbish. You know, it was 10, 11 million to start with. So, you know, there's a lot of people who've drifted away because it's been rubbish.
Anyway, I'd love to carry on talking, Ben, but I have to go and pick up Isabella from badminton. So it was a rather abrupt end to our little chat about the Moffat era. But thank you for coming on.
No worries, mate. Happy Christmas.
And to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is an APV services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.